right, if you need a bulletin, go ahead and slip up your hand. Brother Fabian will bring you one. As always, we've got our service times listed there. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and again at 5:30 p.m. Thursdays at 7, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter number 4. We got the salvations and baptisms. We'll go ahead and count up any salvations going back to, Friday, or I know Saturday we had the one. Anything for the group today? Two today? A couple of notes there to remind, as well as a reminder to please silence your cell phones at this time if you haven't already done so. Keep working on the New Testament 90-day challenge. You got the schedule there. We also have the birthday donuts coming up next Sunday, so be here early at 10 a.m. Get that donut in honor of those celebrating their birthdays in the month of February. Also, the Mexico Monday is coming up. We got the sign-up sheet back there. If you want to go, please do sign up. The times are right on the sign-up sheet. That's where I remember correcting it. So refer to the sheet, all right? And then on the back, don't forget Operation Confiscation is still in full swing and will be for the remainder of the year. So go out there, replace those King James Bibles, and get a first, second, or third place prize at the end of the year. We've got the Children's Bible memory passage. You got till next week, kids, to get this memorized and earn that ice cream bar in the back of the freezer. So go ahead and start working on that. And also just a couple other upcoming events below that. Keep take note of those. That'll do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song. We're going to preach tonight.
Song number 13, Victory Through Grace.
Spoken to us by his Son, who made the point of air of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. between the brightness of his glory, and he expressed him in his person, and the holy offering by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, he made so much better than the angels, that he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, and saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, He maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He set their righteousness, and he set their liking. Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as unto garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they now all ministering spirits, set forth to minister to them, shall be heirs of salvation? Brother Martina, would you pray for us?
All right, so tonight I'm going to continue on with what we started this morning, our series on the why we're King James only, and talking about the subject of Revelation. And we talked about this morning about how Revelation was something that, meaning that God, something that God shows to us, and we talked about the different types of Revelation. And I wanted to focus in a little bit more tonight on this idea of special Revelation, or Revelation that is revealed to us through things which God has done himself, something that God has shown us through his miracles and things like that. And God has revealed himself to man at different ways and at different times. You're there in Hebrews chapter 1. You'll notice there in verse 1 where it reads, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And notice there it says that he spoke to us at sundry times, meaning in many times, and in diverse manners, meaning in many different ways. If you would, go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. So the book of Hebrews is telling us that God has spoken to us in many different times, in diverse manners, in different ways. God has spoken in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You're there in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 3. He said, How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy angels and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. So again, Paul is showing us that it was by revelation that God made known unto him the mystery that in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So what we see here is that God has a special revelation that he's given, and that is God's revealing of himself through miracles. And again, this is just backing up the fact that God has spoken to us at sundry times in diverse manners, meaning So what are some of these diverse manners? What are the different ways in which God has spoken to us? Well, the first one I'd like to, and I'll blow through these very quickly because quite honestly I've got quite a bit to cover tonight, but he says one of the diverse manners that we might think of is the fact that God has spoken in times past by dreams. And we could think of probably the example of Joseph's dream in Genesis 37. I won't have you turn there, but you remember when Joseph dreamed the dreams where his family would be made subject unto him, that the sheaves rose up and they came and bowed down to his sheaf, and so on and so forth. And of course, that came to pass in Genesis chapter 42 when Joseph's brethren came to him. He remembered the dreams, the Bible says, which he had dreamed of them. So there's an example of God speaking in a diverse manner unto the prophets in times past. He does this through dreams. He does this through visions, of course. This is another way in which God has spoken unto us in times past, through dreams and through visions. Like, for example, we could go to Daniel. I won't have you go there, but the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, it says in Daniel chapter 2. a vision appeared unto me, even unto Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first, and the thing was revealed unto Daniel. Another, you might think of another vision, is the vision that Peter had when he went up on the roof, and he was hungered, and he had a vision of the great sheet that was let down and had all the diverse animals on it, and he was told three times to rise, kill, and eat. And of course, that was a vision that God gave to him, that the Bible says that he fell into a trance. Those are different ways in which God has spoken unto us. God has revealed things unto us in diverse manners in times past, through dreams, through visions, through Urim and Thummim would be another one. I won't have you go there, but if you remember, this was something that was part of the high priest's garment. He would put this Urim and this Thummim on him, and we see, and we're not exactly clear what it is. Obviously, it was probably some kind of stone or something like that that was put upon the priest, but it was something that was used in order to discern God's will and to seek counsel at. And we see that in Numbers chapter 27. I won't take the time to read all that. You can look at that yourself if you'd like. I'm just going through and showing us the different ways in which God has revealed to himself unto us, the different ways in which he has spoken unto us in times past. We see it was done through dreams. It was done through visions. It was done through the Urim and the Thummim. Also, it was done through an audible voice, an audible voice. One of the probably the best examples we would see is 1 Samuel chapter 3, if we were to go there. We can read about when the prophet Samuel was a young boy in the first going into the tabernacle and serving there when his mother had dedicated him, that he heard the Lord calling on him in the night, and he thought it was, of course, Eli, and he ran and he said, "You called me." He said, "It wasn't me." And Eli eventually perceived that it was the Lord that spoke unto him, and he said, "You know, when the next time you hear it, say, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And of course, he did that, and God spake to him. And that was in an audible voice. So that is the way God speaks. Now, God's not speaking to us in an audible voice today. Okay, and let me emphasize that, because a lot of people get this misconception that voice in their head is God talking to them. As crazy as that sounds, even in Baptist churches, you'll run into people like this. I just saw somebody comment somewhere recently that those new IFBers, they've never heard God's audible voice. No, I haven't, because God doesn't speak that way anymore. Okay? That's your own conscience speaking. That's you putting words in God's mouth, and it can be a very dangerous thing to do that. Start convincing yourself that you somehow, you know, you're special because God is speaking just to you. Right? So that's called the delusions of religious grandeur is what that is, okay? Now, in times past, God did that. Times past, God did that when he didn't have the entire Word of God. We'll move on. He's spoken unto us in Urim and Thummim, audible voice. He's spoken to us in dreams, through visions. He's even spoken through animals. Okay, now I will read this one because this is one of my more favorite stories. Of course, when you had Balaam going to prophesy against Israel, and his mule sees the angel in the way, and he turns aside and crushes his leg. And when the ass saw that the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. So this was God speaking through this animal. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And of course, the funny part is that he answers. You know, he's just like, this is as common to him as that guy who had Mr. Ed, the talking horse, right? He just went out in his barn and would talk to his horse like it was nobody's business. I mean, she says, "Hey, why are you smiting me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me." You know, and he's upset that his mule's making him look bad, right? So this is another way that God has spoken. Of course, we would think of angels, too. Another way that God has spoken in times past. And there's many, many, many examples of these things. So I'm just pointing out a few and showing us again that what the Scripture says is true, that God has spoken unto us in times past, in sundry times, and in diverse manners. He's done it in many different ways. God is trying to get a hold of man. God wants man to know who he is. We think of angels, Luke chapter 1, we could go there and we could read about how the angel Gabriel was sent unto a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Of course, we just read all that over the Christmas story. Now, God doesn't speak to us like that anymore. God isn't going to send an angel, okay? That wasn't an angel, that was the headlights from the car passing on the street in your house. You know, that's not God's voice talking to you, that's your own imagination. And if your animals start talking to you, you know, seek professional help. Okay? These are miracles. These are things that God did in times past. But is that to say that God hasn't spoken unto us at all? That God hasn't revealed himself unto us? Well, I would say that the great, we would read over those things. We'd read all these different stories and we'd say, wow, that must have been amazing to have hear God's voice. And yeah, surely that would send chills up your spine to hear God's voice and to see an angel and have a messenger of the Lord come unto you or have some miracle take place. That would be great. But here's the thing, the greatest way in which God has ever spoken to us is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten Son to speak unto us. The Bible says in John 1, we know the verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus was here speaking on behalf of the Father. God has spoken unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's gone to heaven, but he's left us something, hasn't he? He's left us his word. He's left us the Bible. If you would, go over to Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter number 16. Look, God has spoken unto us in all these different ways in times past, and we read about those things and we say, wow, that would have been amazing. You know what's amazing to me is we have God's word in the Holy Bible. Do you think that maybe some of the people in the Old Testament would love to have the Bible in their hands like we have today? There's so many things that they didn't understand back then that we have full understanding of because of the fact that we have a Bible. So let's not, you know, get all worked up about these other ways in which God has spoken in times past. Those things are gone. We don't want to end up like some charismatic or some Pentecostal who thinks that, you know, God's speaking to them or, you know, that they can see an angel or something like that. All these crazy things that people do out in these churches today. Look, as the song says, what more can he say than to you hath he said in his excellent word? Look there in Romans chapter 16, look at verse 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Look, this revelation of the mystery was kept secret since the world began, but now, in Paul's day, in the New Testament, is made manifest. There is no mystery. And how is it given to us? By the scriptures of the prophets, through the Bible, according to the commandment of the everlasting Father, and made known unto all nations for the obedience of the faith. Go to Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter number 1. The greatest way in which God has spoken unto us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, the second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, going to Titus 1, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, they may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandments and of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Peter wants us to be mindful of the words that were spoken by the holy prophets and by the commandments of the apostle and the Lord and Savior. He wants us to be mindful of the things which God has written to us in his word, because that is how God has spoken to us. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie before the world began, promised before the world began, hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me and to the commandment of God our Savior. And what is it that we preach? We preach the Bible. So that is the greatest way in which God has spoken to us, is through his word. Now, as we're talking about going into the series about why we're King James only, we're starting to talk about, you know, the fact that we're King James only because of we believe in the revelation of Scripture. And as we go into the series, we're going to use terms like revelation. We're going to use terms like inspiration. We're going to use terms like illumination and preservation. So we're just kind of laying a groundwork here. And I want to define some terms tonight as we go into this. First thing I want to talk about is revelation versus inspiration. Revelation versus inspiration. You need to understand what these mean as we go through this series. Again, we talked about this morning. Revelation makes truth known. That's what revelation is, when God reveals something to us. Revelation is when God makes truth known. However, inspiration is that truth recorded without error. That's what we mean by inspiration. That truth has that God has revealed has been recorded without error. It's been inspired through the authors of the Scripture. Another way you could think about this is that the Bible contains revelation. There's many revelations in the Bible, but the entire Bible was given by inspiration. Okay? And I thought of a bike messenger. Okay? Now, it's not a perfect illustration, okay? But if you think of somebody who's a bike messenger who's going to carry a message from one person to another, well, who's the sender? The sender, Bible, right? It's the instrument by which that message is being carried. It's operating, you know, this probably isn't true of many bike messengers, you know, but that bike, if it was God's bike, if it's representing the Bible, would be a perfect bike. I mean, it would operate flawlessly. There would be no problems with it. It'd have all the tread, you know, it would have the gears would be well greased, the brakes would work. It's operating flawlessly. That's what we believe about the Bible. It's perfect. That's the vehicle which carries the message that God is giving. Well, who is the writer then? Well, the writer would just simply be the authors. They would be the writers. They would be the ones that are making use of that vehicle and delivering that message. They're delivering another's exact message. And that's what we mean by inspiration. That when these men were inspired, they are writing down the exact words of God. Okay? That they are preserved. And of course, these authors, they had different sources as we go through this. What were some of the author sources in the scriptures? Well, you have special revelation, right? Which would be things that only God can make known. They wrote about these things. We could talk about the creation account, you know, in the beginning, right? That was something no one else was around in the beginning, okay? The author, someone wrote that down and said, well, how do I know this? Well, that's obviously something that God had to reveal unto them. That's a special revelation that was given to the author. Okay, and that story, those words were written and preserved for us. They were because they were inspired by God. Okay, we could talk about the fall of Satan. You know, they weren't there to see that. We could talk about even John's revelation. You know, the revelation that John had. Look, he didn't. It's not like he climbed his way up to heaven. God revealed that whole thing to him. God gave him the book of Revelation by inspiration, and that's why we know that they are God's words given to us. Okay. A lot. That's one source that the authors drew upon was their special revelation, meaning it was given to them by God. What about personal observation? And you see examples of this throughout Scripture. This would be, you know, facts that they knew based either on what they had seen or what they had even read. Okay, you have examples of this in Ezra. You have examples of this in Daniel. Daniel said that he understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Okay, so he's reading Jeremiah the prophet, and he's writing down the conclusions that he came to. Okay, this is just another source that they drew upon. Now, both types of the narrative are recorded, aren't they? You have the things that were given to them by special revelation. You have the things that they had written down basically from their own personal observation. And both of these narratives are recorded, but it's inspiration that guarantees the accuracy of both. That's what inspiration does, that both of these are inerrant because they're inspired. And I want to explain the difference here a little bit this evening between revelation and inspiration. Again, revelation makes truth known. It's inspiration that records that truth without error. Revelation is progressive, okay? Revelation is progressive, whereas inspiration is, you know, is plenary. Okay, it's plenary. It's something that was revealed over time. Okay, truth is revelation is progressive. The truth was revealed over time. Okay, and there's examples of this. We could talk about the names of God. Right, those God's names were revealed over time. All right, Exodus chapter 6. He said, and God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. That was a name that he revealed to the children of Israel. We could talk about the truth that was revealed about the Messiah, right? We read on Genesis where God is cursing man, woman, and the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, we refer to that as the seed of the woman. They knew that there was going to be a Savior, a Messiah, that came through the seed of the woman. Well, that truth was expanded upon in Isaiah, right? Where he said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So you can see how revelation is progressive, how its truths are given over time throughout Scripture. Whereas inspiration it covers the whole of Scripture. All these truths that we read about in Scripture are given to us by inspiration, meaning they're given to us fully and completely by inspiration. All of the Bible is given by inspiration, which means this, that all parts of the Bible are equally inspired. Which means that you can't say, well, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't know if that's what God meant over here. Well, I believe this part of the Bible, but, that's probably not true. Well, if the Bible is inspired, then it's all inspired. In fact, the Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, all of it. So that's the difference between revelation and inspiration. Revelation is something that is given throughout over time, but it's inspiration that preserves those truths completely for us. Now, there's another thing I want to cover quickly tonight, and that's the difference between revelation and illumination. And illumination is something that you and I benefit from. We benefit from the illumination of the Holy Ghost. We benefit from that. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have all that in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come upon men in the Old Testament, but they did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit back then. We as New Testament believers, we have that. And that's a huge privilege. Not only do we, think of the privilege that we have in having the Bible. Not only do we have God's Word that they did not have completely, but we also have a Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and to teach. Illumination is the spiritual understanding which is granted to believers by the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm defining terms because these are going to keep coming up. So if you're going to miss the terms, and I keep going through the series, and well, what did you mean? Well, you're going to have to go back and watch the sermon. That's why I'm going through this tonight, defining some terms, laying the groundwork. Illumination is the spiritual understanding granted to believers by the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us this, that we would have this. In John 16, howbeit when he cometh the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Look, that's a great promise that we have in the Word of God. That we have the Holy Spirit hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? And we need not that any man teach us. Because that same anointing will teach us of some things, but it will teach us of all things. Now, that's not an excuse to not be in church. Well, I don't need to go in church because the Bible said somebody else get up and teach me what I believe when the authors of the Bible would write. To some degree or another, there was a level of illumination that was given unto them. In the illumination of the authors with the writing of the Scripture. Now, the illumination of the authors, or the lack of it, does not affect the Bible's authority. Because again, the Bible is inspired. It's all inspired. It's all God's Word. Okay. Now that's not to say that some of the authors didn't have, what they were writing was the Word of God, or they had illumination from God. Okay. But either way, it's still God's Word. Okay. And some of them, they wrote from having studied and researched. I think Luke, I should have had you go there, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Luke said, and many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good also, good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke here is saying, look, he's got all these other things, that many other people have set in order and written a declaration, those things which are more surely believed among us. There were other writings that were there. Luke knew of them. Luke wasn't a disciple. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles, folks. He came on later on in Paul's ministry. He shows up later. But he studied and he read and he spoke with people. He studied, he researched, and that gave him a perfect understanding of all things. And that's where he wrote from. Now, does that fact that he's writing from a place where he has researched the script, or he researched the story, he researched and studied and spoke and gathered the facts, does that detract from the authority? No, because again, it's still inspired. Okay, it's still given to him by inspiration, whether he realizes that or not. Now, I'm not saying he didn't. Because a lot of times they did write knowing it was God's word, didn't they? I believe that. I believe even in the Old Testament, they would write things, and they said that knowing what they were writing was inspired by God. David said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. I mean, it sounds like he knew what he was saying and writing was from God. I mean, that couldn't be any clearer. I believe Paul is somebody who knew the things that he was writing were inspired. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, charity never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And people can, you know, debate what verse 9 is talking about, what that is that's in part, and what is he referring to when that which is perfect has come? What is he talking about there? I believe he's referring to the Word of God. That's my personal opinion. Because he's saying, look, we know in part, okay? Because perfect just means whole or complete. Like he says in James, that he might be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking, right? Nothing. That's what it means to be perfect in the Bible. So he knows, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come, okay? So he's contrasting that which is perfect with that which is in part. Now, what did they have in part? Well, he said, we know in part. Well, they had the Old Testament. I mean, Paul had the Old Testament. He knew in part, but we also prophesy in part. What he's saying is, look, the things that I'm saying are part of of Scripture. And when when we all get done being used by God here and being inspired and illuminated, then that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Okay? Because it will be perfect. It will be whole. He said, if you would, go over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now, what he wrote is still inspired. It's still part of God's word. It's still preserved for us. It's part of the message that God's delivering to us. But it sounds to me like Paul said, look, I know what I'm saying is my opinion, but it's still in there. It doesn't detract from the authority of Scripture. And, you know, there were even people that wrote not knowing the significance of what they were writing. You know, Daniel is an example of that. When he got done writing everything he wrote, he said, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And he said, well, sit down and I'll tell you. No, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Saying, well, you don't get to know. But does that subtract from the things that Daniel wrote? And say, well, you know, can we trust what Daniel wrote? Well, of course, because he still wrote under inspiration, okay? So again, to whatever degree the authors were or were not illuminated, God's message was accurately recorded by inspiration. Okay. Even those who had no understanding of their words being inspired. Look at John 11, verse 49. He said, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish. And he's talking about, you know, we should kill Jesus so that the Romans don't come and destroy our city and destroy our temple. He says in verse 41, and this he spake not of himself, meaning he wasn't talking about himself, meaning it wasn't of himself. You know, this is something that God put in his heart, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. So, Caiaphas here, the high priest, he's speaking under inspiration, and I don't believe he even understood it or even knew that he was. He was just saying something that just, you know, he just thought, came to his mind, made sense to him. He had a completely different meaning when he said it. But God, you know, used it to prophesy of Jesus. Now, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I want to kind of just try and simplify this a little bit, to boil this down a little bit more. Because we're talking about the revelation, we're talking about inspiration, we're talking about illumination. What do all these things mean? And I'm trying to help us to understand, but I think 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, will help us understand this whole concept here. If you look there at verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So he's saying that God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. So that's what? A revelation, right? And really, when you think revelation, you can just think of disclosure, right? Just, you ever hear people just, you know, hey, full disclosure. Let me just tell you everything, right? Let me just come out and say it. That's really what revelation is. That's just God disclosing things to us. And God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit, right? Goes on and says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not that spirit which is of the spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So again, this is what I was referring to earlier, illumination. Okay? So there's the revelation, right? The fact that God has revealed things unto us by his Spirit. He has disclosed these things unto us. And then we have the fact that we've received these things by the Spirit, which is of God, which would be the illumination, okay? And really, another word you could use there is discovery, okay? Discovery. God discloses things, we discover them, right? He discloses them by his Spirit in his Word, and we, by his Spirit, discover them in his Word, okay? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And this, you know, is a reference to the inspiration of Scripture. It's the Holy Ghost teaching these things, right? It's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And you could just think of the documentation, okay? So when we start using these terms, you know, revelation, we're talking about just God, the disclosure of truth that God has given to us. We talk about illumination, we're just talking about the fact that we're discovering these things by the Spirit. And then you have the inspiration, right? Which is how these things were documented, which is how we have these truths. So we have the inspiration in Scripture, right? That there's many different revelations in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that come from different sources, that were written by personal observation, or they were divinely inspired, but they're all of it is inspired, meaning it's all preserved. Okay, that's the vehicle that God has given us all these truths. Now, if you would go to Ephesians chapter 1, and you know, I hope you'll stick with the series. I hope you'll come and listen because you know it is important. Again, and I talked about the fact this morning that, you know, we believe in the preservation of Scripture. We are King James only by faith. We believe that is the preserved, inerrant Word of God by faith. And over the next several weeks, as we go through this, you know, we start to delve into the more, you know, scholastic parts of this issue. I don't want us to think that, you know, works and things like that. Ultimately, I mean, that's all good things that help back up what we already believe. But we believe these things by faith. And I certainly don't want us to just walk out of here feeling like, well, how do I apply this? I'm always trying to look for ways to apply this to us. And as I've been thinking about this, you know, it seems to me like, you know, God has gone through a great deal to reveal unto us his truth, hasn't he? You know, I said it this morning, God's not hiding in a corner somewhere hoping we find him. God's wide out in the open. He's, you know, even to unsaved man, even to the whole world, to some degree, he's revealed himself through nature so that they are without excuse. And he's shown himself to be there. And every one of us, every person, and God has revealed himself. And he's gone to great lengths to do it. I mean, the Bible is an amazing book. But think about all the things that had to come together. Think about all the things that the people had to go through that wrote those books. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I mean, folks. And I want us to keep that in mind as we read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 itself. Look, God has what? Abounded toward us in wisdom. In excellent things, in wisdom. God has given us so much wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the Bible. He's abounded toward us. And he's what? He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. We can't say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's will is for my life. It's all right there in the Bible. So, you know, here's the thing. It's great to understand these things about the Bible, how we got the Bible, why we believe what we believe about the Bible. But you know what? It's important to understand what the Bible actually says. What's more important than that is what the Bible creates. Remember that God's gone to a great deal. God has abounded toward us, but not just so we could sit back in awe, and we do sit back in awe, and we are moved and we are inspired, but that we can actually do those things, to not be hearers only, but doers also. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you again for the Bible. Thank you for that amazing book, Lord. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to appreciate it for what it is, and Lord, that we would appreciate the wisdom that's in it, and that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, so that you could bless us. We ask these things.